watching and connected, but it's never enough. Talking with our friends about our favorite things, TV shows and movies and some random swearing. Hi guys and gals, it's time for Pretty Little Podcast. We're gonna do a movie from my childhood.
Wait, who are you?
You sound like you're crying. Hi everyone.
I was crying after watching this.
Why?
No, come on, man.
We'll get to it.
You got to do a hello. Welcome to the
I'm
podcast.
Chucky Sleaze.
Yeah.
Here with Deadbeat Chad. Oh, you going to do it?
This was a good idea. This is good.
This is great. I like it.
Well, but me too, asshole. I'm here.
We haven't given you a nickname.
I don't have a nickname.
What's your name again?
Oh, my God. Goodbye. I'm out. I'm already tired and didn't want to watch this fucking movie.
Jessica Moon.
Oh my God.
We decided you were going to be like the perpetual special guest.
Yeah, I'm perpetual special guest, Jess Moon. Thank you.
Even though you've been on.
That doesn't matter. All but like two, I think.
I think it was.
Because y'all did Motorama, even though you made me watch it.
And Tideland.
Even though I've seen it.
Yeah.
By the way, I think that's it.
This movie that we're reviewing today, Tideland, strangely, was a better movie. I don't know how, but it was.
I disagree.
Really?
Yes.
This definitely has moments in it that are just kind of, what the fuck?
The plot alone makes up for most of
what would you say this movie is about?
Dialogue.
I would say it's about a childlike sense of wonder.
It's about the peanut butter solution.
I would say it's about accepting yourself despite your physical appearances.
He said the thing. He did the thing. That's the movie we're talking about.
I would also say that this movie is about child trafficking to force them into slave labor. All of those things are true.
Yeah, you got to have some comedy relief.
All right. Well, the peanut butter solution, huh? What is this? It's Canadian as hell.
Well, to me, this reads like it's intended to be like a Roald Dahl-esque kind of fairy tale type thing, written by four writers, because I checked the credits. Four people wrote this movie that didn't really know how to pull it off. In my opinion.
I don't think they were working together. I think they were writing four separate movies and then they just decided to go with it.
Well, or it could be just like rewrites or whatever.
But yeah, you're right. This does feel like...
I have a feeling that this is a Canada fairy tale that every boy and girl who lives in Canada knows about. And you are just being a snotty American about it.
I mean, you're probably right. Well, as Jess was saying...
This doesn't feel like a fairy tale to you?
It does. It does, for sure.
It has to. That's the only way to explain some of the nonsensical stuff that goes on here.
Yeah, and it does get whimsical towards the end, but it just takes the entire movie to get there. Because halfway through the movie, you figure out what the plot of this thing actually is.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of wrap it up at the end in the last 10 minutes or so.
When I fell asleep.
Yes.
I fell asleep at the end of this movie.
I don't like how you're shitting on this movie so much.
No. And don't get me wrong. Like, this movie, look, if I was 5 to 10 years old and watching this, I probably would have got more out of it.
No, this definitely seems like something that if you saw it as a child.
It's child logic.
Yes. So it doesn't occur to you.
Yeah, you're just watching things happen and your child brain is going, yeah, that's feasible.
I'm coming to this as an adult looking at plot and structure and there's a lot of strange time. Yeah,
there's a lot of way stuff. Too getting grabby with kids and kidnapping children.
Well, as the only kid in this room who saw the movie, I would like to tell you my experience with it.
Please do.
Go for it.
So I went over to this kid's house whose parents were pretty religious, and they had like 3 or 4 videos that he was allowed to watch, and this was in the collection. And because his parents were so strict, I never went back and spent the night over there and watched movies with him again. So later on in life, when I told my sister about this movie I saw when I was a kid, she convinced me as an adult that I had never seen it, that this was a fever dream. And I was convinced until another podcast that we both listened to or
did at one point.
How Did This Get Made? Covered it, and I lost my shit because it was like, it is real.
So that's really funny because we found out about this movie watching Eddie Burback on YouTube.
Yeah.
He reviewed it. And I actually went and tweeted. I have it on my Twitter. I tweeted at How Did This Get Made saying, you need to do this. I need to see what Jason Mantzoukas thinks about the peanut butter solution. I'm not saying I'm the reason why, because they, but like, I did do that. And then like a month later, they actually did it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I remember texting
you. Maybe it was the algorithm was giving it to a lot of people who listened to that podcast. Maybe so. And they all sent the same message.
Maybe so. Yep. But yeah, so that's interesting. That, yeah. I think we all have something like that, like from our childhoods, where you just kind of half-ass remember, and like no one else seems to, and you're like, no, it was fucking real, okay? This is not, even though I could see how, I mean, I don't know, if you just described the plot of this movie, it sounds like a fever dream.
That's why I love it.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah.
Well, for me, when I was a kid, there was a game that I played on NES called Gun Knack. And that was my thing. I kept trying to explain to kids at school what the hell this thing was.
Okay. Yeah, no. It's the fucking Smart Ball game that Ian finally bought me, and I got it when I went to California. I was like, all I fucking remembered, there was a game where you're a blue ball and you could stick on a wall. And it would make
Marvel
me laugh.
Madness?
And no, it's called Smart Ball. It's some no one ever fucking heard of game from the Super Nintendo. And my friend Ian at the time worked at a retro video game store. And he was like, I know what that is here. And he snagged a copy and I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
Did he ever give that to you?
Oh yeah. He bought it for me years ago. And then when I went to see him in San Diego, he gave it to me in person. So yeah, I have it.
I didn't know if we had it or not, but
yeah, man.
But yeah, we as kids, we all had that thing that we had as a kid, and then you get a little bit older, you kind of vaguely remember it, and you're trying to explain it to other people. And you know, in Chucky's case here, like people telling you it was a fever dream, well, trying to explain this movie to somebody and swear that it isn't is very difficult to do because this is child logic. It's a fever dream movie.
I had the same experience yesterday with a coworker where I explained the plot of the movie Tiptoes, and
I still haven't seen it. It's in my queue.
He was like, what? And who's in this?
Peter Dinklage is in it.
Peter Dinklage, yeah. Gary Oldman, Matthew McConaughey, Kate Beckinsale, Patricia Arquette.
What the hell? What?
From what I understand, this is not a very, like, it's a very...
We'll save it. We'll save it for another day.
Okay, all right. Stay on topic, yeah.
Yeah, so, like Jessica mentioned early in the episode, this kind of reads like a Roald Dahl type book. At the beginning of this film, it says that it's like number two in a series of some kind.
I want to know what number one is and how many are there.
There's like, I think there are like 20 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they all like movies?
I think they might have made quite a few of them, but as far as distribution and stuff, this was the
hit.
Yeah, this was the hit.
Well, all that
I know. It makes me want to see the other ones even more.
No, seriously.
Well, all that means is that this was the wackiest one that actually people remember because it was so fucking wacky.
But it made it all the way to Texas in 1988.
Well, look.
To be pretty popular for the video to get it.
This would not have been a theatrical release. This had to have been like made for
actually,
television.
Actually, I have the Blu-ray at home, and it comes with the theatrical release.
This went to theaters?
according to the Blu-ray, I mean, it might have just been a Canada thing.
Yeah, there's no way this hit theaters in America.
It was just a projection screen in somebody's barn.
It counts. It counts.
All right. So the movie starts out pretty tame, I guess. It's just a normal scenario where a mother has to leave her family.
It reminds me of in the beginning of Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead. But the dad is there, but you fucking still need useless. The kids still need a babysitter. Yes. But there is no babysitter.
No, the daughter winds up taking over like all of the responsibilities of the mother.
She's too good at being the mom.
She's like, also too good at dressing. Oh yeah, I love her little outfits.
Yeah,
man.
No, she's okay. She's got the mom outfits down.
We definitely need to address this because everybody in this film at one point is wearing a robe.
It's very robe-centric.
The first thing the kid says is, she's been wearing that robe for 2 weeks.
Every character in this movie wears a robe.
It doesn't even fit her. She knows I don't like it. That's mom's robe.
Well, yeah, the mother, she's
not dead.
She's in Australia.
Yeah, she's in Australia because her father died and she has to sell his house.
Yeah, so she's
which also reminds me of Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead, because where does the mom go in Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead?
I don't remember.
Australia.
Oh, well, that came after this movie, so if
anything... Yeah, so this was the inspiration. Yeah.
I'll buy it.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, the mother has gone away to sell her dad's house, who's passed away, and now you've got this family who is a brother, a sister, and a father. The sister, Susie, right?
I have no idea.
She is now 100% right. Responsible for keeping this family together. And
I don't think her name's Susie.
I think it was Susie. Hang on. I'll look it up.
Chucky, what's her name?
Susie.
I know.
Boom.
Oh, okay.
I know two characters' names in this movie.
I know Conrad.
I know Connie. And I know
the senor.
Oh, we'll get to
the senor.
The senor. And his dog, Jim. I think his dog's name is Jim.
That is all we need, because the rest of the cast in this movie, like one of them is named Rabbit. So they didn't even give a shit when they were naming these characters.
We were reading the credits, I was like, who the fuck is Rabbit?
Yeah, you
were like,
know.
That's the art dealer.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't even know who these characters are because they never say some of their names.
That's how deep the lore goes. They don't even have to mention it like in the movie. It's behind the scenes world building.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, it's like somebody who hasn't played Fallout watching the new show. Like, what the hell?
I watched the first two episodes and I fully expected that it would be garbage. And I'm really enjoying it. I got to be honest. We've only seen two episodes.
No, I thought it was going to suck.
Oh, yeah.
But
same. It's like fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's great.
Yeah. Anyways, that's another thing. Because we want to talk. We'd want to do a Fallout episode in time, too. Because that's something.
Oh, yeah.
That's something.
Yeah,
definitely. At least you and I know. Chucky, have you played like the Fallout games and shit like that?
I know it way better than both of you.
Fuck you. Bold assumption.
I'm playing New Vegas for like the fifth or sixth time now.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The best
then
one.
We'll definitely. Well.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. Anyways, Peanut Butter Solution.
Peanut Butter Solution is the name of this movie.
This is a great excuse for like brainstorming future episodes. We've got possible Tiptoes and Fallout.
Hey.
But first,
let's get through the Peanut Butter Solution.
Well, let's not get through. I do really want to punch the kid, though. He's fucking... And that's actually what made me think of Roald Dahl, because he annoyed me in the same way that Charlie does in Charlie, the original, like, from the 70s, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like, I just want to fucking punch him.
When they give him that wig...
Get a very punchable face. No, it's not even the wig. It's when he's bald, and he's, like, curled up in his robe, away from, like... And he's got his hand up to his face, and I said it's like how a mom cries. It's how I cry, right? When life just really sucks out of nowhere and you don't want anyone to fucking know. So you have to like just away and just be
like,
you've got so fucking much inside you that needs to get out, but you can't make a scene. You've got to be quiet. And I was like, oh my God, shut the fuck up.
It is not.
You do not know trouble, you dumb child.
Yeah. Okay.
She noticed how he kept. Okay. Well.
Okay. Well, how about this? Before we actually even get into this thing, really.
What?
What is the moral of this story?
I told you. Well, okay. Chucky, what would you say the moral of this story is? Because I said right at the end what I think the moral of this story is.
If you go loitering in abandoned houses, you might see a bum ghost and lose your hair.
Bum ghost.
And the bum ghost...
That's the title.
May help you out in some ways, but just be careful because bum ghosts are like monkey paws. And your best friend may have to save you by...
this is a very long moral.
Yeah,
Do you want to know what I think the moral of this story is?
God, that was awful.
Imagination is wrong. Imagination is bad. That's the moral of this story.
Until it isn't.
No, it is. Because even all the way through, you've got the senor who, Jesus Christ, he's to, you know, his whole thing is imagination is bad, right? But.
Oh, yeah. One more thing before I.
I'm explaining the moral.
I just wanted to add one more point to my moral.
Oh, okay.
Don't trust Connie.
No, I like him.
I think he burned that house down.
He burned that house down?
Did you see his face light up when he talked about that house being on the news?
Okay.
Yes, he was like, I was right in the middle of the action. I was closer to the action than anyone else. Oh, my God.
You're telling me you guys didn't see some kind of disaster or something when you were a kid, and it's like you get excited about it? No. He tells people all the time throughout this movie from, hey, no one believes him about fucking anything.
I saw one
from the ants are on the from the ants that are on the ground. And he's like, there's no ants. And there's fucking ants. And he tells the dude, don't fucking go in there. And he's like, I'm going to go in there. And then he's like, dude, what the hell? And then everyone blames him for everything. And I don't know why. But anyways, moral of the story is that imagination is wrong. And that's because. How do they defeat the senor, so to speak, in the end?
They don't.
Yes, they do.
He gets arrested. Because he should get arrested.
He
uses his imagination.
Yeah, I know, but they defeat him.
No, they defeat him by getting him to use his imagination.
Exactly. And that's why imagination is wrong. And then at the very end, the damn bald kid, whose name I can never remember, is the main character of the story. Defeats the bum ghosts.
It's Michael.
Oh, yeah, okay. By saying, I'm not afraid of you anymore. My imagination is... He loses his imagination and his fear and is released from the curse. Even though... Don't give me... This curse works in weird ways because... There's a pube situation in this movie that I don't know if we needed that subplot. But then just kind of ends.
Away.
Connie goes through puberty for like 2 seconds and he's like, what's wrong with my voice? And then in the next scene, he doesn't have all the hair growing out the bottom of his pants anymore and his voice is back to normal and it's never addressed again. I don't know about
it. I hope the listeners have heard or seen this movie because
none
of this makes
sense. Dude, it's free on YouTube. Go watch. It's called The Peanut Butter Solution. Just go see it. It's free on YouTube. Mm. But no, that's this whole thing is about how imagination is wrong and bad. And you could even argue that this also plays in another way because the sister is using her imagination, imagining she's the mom this whole time. And she, she does all of this shit. She's the mom the whole time. And she finally like uses more kid logic with the sugar, which again, there's no way he had that much sugar to create those long paths.
They didn't but have whatever. To go through all that.
But no, but it's very, so she started using kid logic. And what happened? Her mom came home. She stopped using her imagination as the mom, and then the mom came back.
Oh, my God. You thought way too much about this.
I have to make something out of this movie.
Okay, well.
I mean, the dad was using his imagination upstairs. And that wasn't, and he that wasn't say, working that was out wrong too well.
He definitely should stop that with the sole exception of well-dressed bird. But the dad was pissing me off through the whole fucking movie.
He was like, pretty bad.
The first scene where you see him, she comes up, says, morning, dad, or something, and he's just got both of his hands covering his face, yeah. like blocking his view of her. Like,
no, I even mentioned while we were watching it, every time one of his children comes to get him because he's the responsible guardian of these children, his immediate reaction is, God, what the fuck now? Like, what now? What
but do you want now? That was actually their plan at one point. Remember, there was one scene where they're talking to the two kids are talking to each other and like, how are we going to get this situation taken care of? It's Connie and the sister, and I believe, and they decide the only way they can do something about it is to get their dad to actually believe them, and then they never show how they do it.
No,
10 minutes later, he's on board.
Also, something else that's disturbing in this movie is more than once, the dad and the sister team up to just pin the bald crying child down and either force a wig on him or force the peanut butter solution. They throw that away. Like, they sneak around and then just like pounce on him and pin him down. And he's like screaming and going like, ah, what the hell? No. And they just
to be fair, he's screaming a lot.
Oh no! Again, I don't like this kid. I'm just saying, maybe there's a better.
He isn't likable.
He's not. No, and I don't feel bad for anything that happens to him. But
when they put that wig on him, I immediately thought of Chucky's kid in Seed of Chucky. He looked exactly like Chucky's kid.
I could see that. I don't remember his name.
When I was watching this with my brother-in-law. The last time I watched it, we were sitting there and we got about halfway through it and they're in the process of moving. And, that comes into it kind of, anyway, I'm sitting there watching the movie and all of a sudden his TV just craps out, and it has before in the past. So I was like, oh no, your jank ass TV isn't working. And I look over to my left, and he's wearing this Kenny Powers wig as we're watching Peanut Butter Solution, acting like his hair is growing.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Because the Powers wig just happened to be in a box next to the couch.
He saw the opportunity and was like, this is my moment.
But I didn't look at him. Like half of the movie, I never looked to my left, and all of a sudden, he's got to turn it off to get this joke off. Anyway.
Well, another moral you can take from this film, let's call it a film, I guess.
Well, it is.
Anyways, appearances are the most important thing.
Oh my God. No, seriously.
This kid thinks his life is over.
Dude,
it is, dude. Hair. Did you see the way those kids were acting whenever they realized it was a wig?
Because that's also, but he didn't need a wig in the first fucking place. The point is, like, the moment he wakes up bald and realizes, he starts screaming, I'm disgusting! Like, his world is over.
Yeah. There is a scene where he is looking out the window at his sister and one of her friends playing tennis or something.
Yeah.
And he looks like the saddest, most pathetic thing in the fucking world. Like his he can't even go outside.
He looks like the son of Sam in that summer, that fucking John Leguizamo movie. Yeah. When he's looking down, staring at that dog, just shut up.
He looks like Bart Simpson watching everybody in the pool when he broke his
leg. Exactly. He looks like, I can't even leave this house now because I am so disgusting.
Like, become a hat person if it bothers you that bad. But like, if you just owned it, maybe some people would say something, but no one would fucking give you shit for too long unless you allowed it to happen.
But he's a kid. Kids react.
It was also the 80s. So, of course, he was going to get teased for it.
No, I'm not saying he wouldn't get teased. I'm just saying, like.
Plus, I doubt there are a lot of, like, bald kids like that in Canada because it's so cold.
Well, then he should have a plethora of hats to choose from for the winter.
Damn. You're right.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that, like, when he's bald, it's clear that he has, like, a hairline because his hair is so
dark. Oh, yeah. His hair is just shaved.
Yeah, it's very.
I said shaved.
Yeah. Do you think they, like, shot this in reverse?
They had to. Yeah. Well, they're just in different order. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Way out of order, because when he does start getting hair, you know, it comes in so fast. But they do a really good job. Like, that had to. they had to film that one scene of him just like going up to the bathroom, you know, to look at his hair
every over the course time, of weeks. Every time they cut to a different angle.
It's longer. Yeah. It's longer. And it's authentically his hair. You can tell.
I think that might have been like the short film that they showed someone to get this piece of shit made. You just imagine this kid. He grows hair in every scene.
You remember when Connie's pubic hair was coming out of his jeans?
Multiple times,
and
yeah.
He was telling it to stop.
And it then
just,
it did?
It was just wiggling on the floor, and then it stopped.
And then it stopped, and then his voice went deep. And then after that, that was no longer an issue. It was never brought up again. No. I don't. He beat it. Like, he stopped using imagination, maybe.
Yeah, I mean.
He was just like, no, I'm done with this shit.
He just told it to stop, and it did.
Yeah.
You notice that first night after it started growing when it showed Connie laying in bed and it just represented the hair by having really puffy pants.
Yeah. He's like scratching his legs. And
he's very itchy. He's like, I can't get comfortable. And I'm like, this is making me uncomfortable because.
So are we going to explain this thing?
I don't know. Go for it.
We're just going to talk about scenes out of order.
What? Oh, okay, because that's not what we do.
Hold on. You don't want to do that thing again, do you?
Well, I mean, we should probably give the audience some kind of context if they haven't seen this film, I guess.
Whatever.
I mean, we can just discuss it, I guess, but I mean.
No, go ahead, Chad. It'll make your heart happy. So just go ahead. Well, if you have to do this.
Scratch that itch, man. Flick that light switch.
All right, well, let's just run down the plot of this. Okay. We've already said the mother's out of the picture. It's now the sister, the brother, and the dad living in the house.
And Connie.
The dad is an artist. He spends all of his time up in the attic painting birds and selling them, apparently.
Not selling them.
He sold one for $6,000.
Well, but the art dealer didn't want any of his birds.
Not that time.
Well, but
I think the birds thing is his next period.
That's right.
Because
remember, he was up all night the night before. He was hit by artistic frenzy. He used imagination.
And the art dealer. I got the impression that the art dealer was like, "What is this bullshit that I'm seeing?" Mm-hmm. Because you did sell a painting for $5,000 last time.
No, exactly.
And now you're doing this garbage.
And then the only one that the art
You're going to have to die. And then people are going to have to respect you after you die.
And
for
the
anyone
only one
like
the art dealer even wants is not imagination. It's his family. It's that like tennis scene with his family, which again is not imaginative. Unlike relaxing bird or well-dressed bird or...
Bird singing to cat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the one that the art dealer wanted, which is so strange that somebody...
The tennis one.
Yeah, the tennis one.
Because imagination is wrong.
But it's so weird that anybody would want a painting of someone else's family playing tennis.
Well, but there's a lot of really famous... Well, I don't know about playing tennis, but there's a lot of famous, like, you know, Renaissance paintings, you know, of, like, you know, royalty or, well...
Yeah, but they were people that had, like... Note. Yes.
Well, but they had it made for themselves.
This is just a Canadian family. Like, I don't understand this. But, yeah, anyways, he spends his time up in the attic painting while the kids, like, hold the... Fucking
she's like
finances
paying the bills and like she's fucking doing like she's got a
she's
little.
Yeah, she was doing taxes at one point.
Yes,
she's doing the taxes. She's cooking the meals. She's making sure that Michael is okay because he's going through a fucking traumatic experience in his life and that the dad could really not give a shit less about.
He does not get like when he's in the room, he cares about his kids in a way, but like he does, he very much seems to resent being interrupted.
She's also the one who goes on a mission to find the missing children in the neighborhood when they get abducted.
Yeah. Yes.
She's doing this entire movie.
She should not have to do anything that she's doing.
But you know what? I didn't hear her complain once.
Oh, she did.
Yes, she did.
She started. Like, that's why she... Dude, when she went up to see the dad the first time, she was like, I'm so tired of this. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Which, again, is a very mom thing.
But for the most part,
goddammit,
why
do I have to do
everything?
You just couldn't tell she was complaining by Michael screaming his fucking head off.
All he did was complain.
I'm disgusting!
All Michael does is complain, and then his sister has to fucking solve everybody's problems.
Remember when he first got his head bald, he came downstairs and his eyes were closed. Yeah. I think they were telling him to do that like just close your eyes and act like you haven't even looked in a mirror all the way down the stairs. Well, yeah, I figured
he was like half asleep.
Yeah.
Stumbling down for breakfast.
But then he kept doing it. Like in later scenes, he'd be like, I think it was whenever Senor gets him at first.
When he has to take a sudden nap because it's windy outside, so he like leans against that brick wall, and he's like, "All right."
That was the best. That was the best part of the movie.
And the Senor's just like, "Oh, hello."
Is that a Canadian thing? When it gets too windy, you just go take a nap in the neighbor's yard.
Only if you have long hair.
There's so many fucking things in this movie that happen like that. That you're just like, you notice, none of this is real.
Did you notice how Connie dresses like Corey Feldman dressing like Michael Jackson?
Yeah. No, I will say, like, really this, love that this movie does continue the 80s penchant for having small Asian boy in hat sidekick and or best friend.
Yeah, Connie.
I bet he tried out for Goonies, for Temple of Doom.
Yeah. He could have been Short Round, but then
that's
he
very possible. But
he was Connie.
He dresses like he either really likes ska or Run DMC. Connie.
He dresses like he's gonna take your money in a dice game,
right? And yet he has like a Pepto Bismol pink backpack, which he owns, by the way. Like it's not even like I'm solid. Like I like Connie.
Yeah, Connie's his own thing. And he doesn't care. He's fine being
until
Connie.
You find out that little backpack is full of explosives.
Well, and, maybe so.
Incendiary or, devices.
Know, yes, things that you could set a house on fire with in the middle of the night. Because this burned down in the middle of the night.
But even though it's not burned down, it's just boarded up.
But he says he was there, and I think he
said he was the one closest to the action.
He always returned to the scene of the crime.
He knew the whole setup whenever he went back with Michael and they climbed
really
up there.
I really think he was just excited to see destruction because he's a small boy. Like, I do.
Yeah. So he made some.
Okay.
What better way to see it than to create it?
It didn't look burned, though. It just looked condemned.
Yeah. Like, it was already boarded up. They already had, like...
Was it condemned before?
Hell,
there's no way someone lived there. Well, they would have to be because
it looked like it was in the middle of construction because that ramp would not be coming out the window unless they were doing renovations on it.
But why would all the things be boarded up, you know, with the big, like, that's like zombie apocalypse kind of like boards across windows and shit.
It was just a fixer-upper. Dude, that ramp outside the window means construction.
No, yeah, no, it definitely does.
Everything in this movie feels out of place. Everything. Like, just the furniture in the house doesn't make sense where it's at. Like,
oh, no. The dildo sculptures and the pacifiers hanging from the ceiling.
I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, maybe it's some kind of art installation because I thought that was the condemned house. But then I realized, no, the bum ghosts are just like in his house stealing his food.
I don't think they were ghosts. I think they faked their own death. That way, when people caught them sneaking into their house at night, stealing their food, the dumb Canadians would just be like, oh, that was just a ghost.
Well, and I like that the way the old guy proved he was a ghost to Michael was to have him close his eyes so he could slam doors. But, like, Michael has his fucking eyes closed, so how does he know that the ghost guy is even doing anything?
Because we saw it as the audience.
Yeah, but... Michael's like, oh yeah,
he's using his stupid imagination.
That's my imagination's wrong.
Yeah, everything in this movie feels out of place. They have a fucking like giant fish tank in the kitchen. They have
the phone is in the bookcase.
Oh yeah, I think there were cinder blocks or something inside the fish tank. That was the fishy's house.
Everything is just all of the food is in bags.
All the food is in bags. I said, I think that maybe that was their like low budget way of getting around having to make like fake cereal boxes or whatever. Because Susie's on her dad's shoulders at some point and is getting all these bags clearly of cereal. It's like the plastic bags full of cereal that come inside cereal boxes.
When the ghosts are in their house stealing their food, they open the cabinets and everything is just in a bag.
The old woman finds some boxes, but it looks like pancake mix or something. And I don't understand why they're stealing the food. Because again, it's like you said when we were watching it, if they're ghosts, why don't they just go to the fucking grocery store? And also, why do they have to eat? I'm confused.
However,
Oh.
This movie was apparently sponsored by Skippy Peanut Butter, so that was very prominently featured.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Was that the brand of peanut butter for the solution?
Yep. There was another brand that I saw. I shouldn't have even brought it up. I don't remember what it was, but I pointed it out to my brother-in-law that I kept saying, never mind. Edit. Edit that.
Not gonna. Yeah.
So, anyways.
So, what's this movie about, Chad? We've talked about it for over half an hour now. What's the plot? So the dad's up all night, because we have not gotten even to them going to the fucking house. No,
we haven't. So
no, we got around. Okay, dad's upstairs. He's painting some stupid paintings.
Well-dressed bird is a masterpiece. I like
well-dressed. It is. I would buy well-dressed bird.
Okay, well, no one in 1984 wants this.
No,
and
I was one.
I would have wanted it more.
Anyway, the paintings really don't have a lot to do with the main plot.
No.
The main plot starts off with the brother and sister downstairs having breakfast, and then the leech friend comes over, starts eating the grapes.
That's Connie.
Connie.
Yeah.
The kid that dresses
who
like...
Who I'm convinced does not have parents.
Corey Feldman dressing like Michael Jackson. Well, he tells Michael that there's a house that he saw burn down the night before, and it was really exciting, and he was right in the middle of the action, and
maybe he started the fire.
I maintain he did not start the fire.
I think he did. His face lit up when Michael mentioned the fire.
I want to believe that he started the fire.
No, it's not out of any like kind of misplaced loyalty to Connie. I just don't think that's what they're trying to do. I don't think that's what they're saying.
Anyways, continue. You're doing great.
All right. So dad interrupts breakfast and they quit talking about the house. But eventually, after a scene, okay. I'm sure I'm missing plenty of scenes, but the next one I remember is the introduction to the senor.
Yeah, they go to school, and Connie tells him watch out for the ants on the sidewalk, and he's like, "There's no ants," even though there's clearly ants.
Oh yeah, that's where he got his little dead ant buddy.
Yeah,
which was so fucking weird.
So they go to school, and it's art class time.
Now we're introduced to the senor, who is the art teacher at this school, who, by the way, apparently was kicked out of several schools, has changed his identity multiple times.
Is known for forging paintings.
The principal of this school understands all this and still refused to fire him. Well, but anyways.
That's later.
He's a serial killer from the 80s where you could just change your identity and move to a different town. And
Yeah. It was easy to do, I guess. But he brings his dog into class Jim the dog, mm-hmm. so that they could paint him or draw him, whatever. And he's going around from student to student.
And all these kids grabbing are like 8 years old.
Way too
they're
much.
Like 8 to 10
dude, the first
years old.
Kid he touched, he turned his ear like it was a key on a clock.
Yeah,
or
it was
something.
Very much just like, like a tweak.
Is that a Canadian thing?
No, he grabbed hold of it and then twisted.
Yeah, it's not.
Like he was trying to rip the cartilage out.
These are all prepubescent children.
Yes, yeah. And he's just going from student to student telling them how bad their art is.
It's a whole lot of.
Yeah. And this guy looks fucking ridiculous, too, by the way. He's got, like, Beethoven hair.
He's very Beethoven-esque.
He's got a fucking, like, is it a bathrobe made of hair?
Oh, that's later on. He's got his coat that I am convinced is made of Michael's hair.
I think it is.
I think it's a magical hair coat. But that's later. Right now, he's got, like,
He's like Cruella de Vil, but with children.
Yeah.
He looks like he is in the wrong century.
No, very much. He's
he looks like my dad. Not only in the old, skinny, crazy-haired white guy, but, like, the way he moves, especially that dance he does when he does that painting.
Uh-huh,
I've seen my dad do that dance.
That's amazing.
He's a real yoga freak.
But he's going around and critiquing everybody's... He gave them, which, again...
Not everyone. There's some kids that he's like... That's really good,
but
and it's
he gave
just
them
the ones.
No instruction. If they're supposed to, he's just like, "All right, draw the dog."
I think it's the ones that he gives good critiques to, are the ones that he wants to fuck.
No, that's what I think is going on. I don't know about that. They're the ones with no imagination. He hates. He even says to the principal when she confronts him about being this, like, not being who he says he is later on, that he has done. He's a very good teacher, and his whole goal is to stamp out the imagination in art. And I'm like, what?
Speaking of the principal, she looked like John Candy as Mrs. Doubtfire.
That was something else. Everybody in this movie has a different accent. Yeah, they all have very different accents. Because she's got like
She's got three different accents. Yeah, she starts off with an Irish one, and then she moves to a British one. Yeah. Sounds a little bit Australian towards the end.
Yeah, the senor kind of, like, supposed to be Italian. But
all three of his brothers have different accents.
They do too, yeah.
Well, and then he becomes French.
He does for a little bit.
There's a lot of French accents in this movie too.
Well, but that makes sense because Canada, but...
Right.
You know, like half the paper news.
I could not understand what half the people were saying most of the time.
Well, yeah, I was having to tell you a lot of the time.
It was just very strange because I'm like, I can hear the sounds coming out of their mouth, but I do not understand what the fuck they were saying.
I turned on the closed captioning in the first 10 minutes.
We
didn't have
an option on the, we watched it on YouTube and
yeah, there was it's like auto generated captions, so they're not correct.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, so he's like ripping children's artwork apart, like, and like he draws the dog, which again doesn't look like the dog at all. He, you know, he takes the charcoal and he's like, "This is how you do it," and it looks like a dog demon type thing. And he's like, "Here, hang that in your bedroom."
It looks like the wolf logo from Game of Thrones.
I can see that. Yeah.
Like the wispy line. Which
Jim is like some kind of terrier dog. He does not look like that at all.
He's like a Jack Russell or something.
Well, he's bigger than that. He's, I don't know, he's some kind of mutt dog. But like.
Michael's drawing, his drawing is a dog with a background of fire.
Fire. Yeah, probably because of the house. Which really
pisses him off because there's no fire behind that dog.
Yeah.
I tell you, draw what you see. Draw what you see. I see no fire. The fuck is
it? I think he actually. I think he says, "Look, you see the dog's penis." I swear, I heard him say that at one point.
Muscular.
Are you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. He calls Connie a cock at one point. I swear to God, that's what he does. But yeah, he's critiquing everybody.
I don't know that that's true. I cannot imagine Chucky's like Christian friend's child, like parents, like being okay with him watching them.
Dude, they're Texans. They can't understand
that's fair.
French
that's
accents.
Fair. That's fair.
Even though there's a state right next door to them that they all have it.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, Michael's drawing his version of the dog with fire behind it, and the senor grabs his picture. He's tearing it up and telling him.
Yeah.
And then Connie comes to his rescue. Like,
no, he tries to tear up Connie's. He's talking shit about Connie's.
Yeah, he tears up Michael's, and then he moves on to once Connie stands up for Michael, then he's like, "Well, let's see what you did, huh?"
Yeah.
And then he walks over to Connie's fucking picture, and he starts trying to rip it up, and Connie's like, "If you do that, I swear to God, I'm never coming back to your fucking class again."
But he was like, "If you do that, I am never coming back, and I mean it." And the senior's like, "Oh, dude,
he's like, okay, you're the boss."
Okay, then, and that's just like the end of the scene.
Yeah, next scene, please.
What happens next, Chucky?
Oh, they go to the bum house. Yeah, they go to the abandoned. They go to the abandoned, burned down.
Well, it's after school. After school. But again, the time shifts in this don't make any sense because apparently weeks pass toward the end of this movie, and it's not fucking clear to me at all. But yeah, so after school they go to see the burned down house that is still standing.
It doesn't look like it has fire damage at all.
That's
they
what
go
I'm
in
saying.
There.
It just looks condemned.
Anyways, they go to the house to see it because they've been talking about it.
Well, yeah.
And I guess Michael wants to go see it. And Connie tries to go in there and he like can't make it up the slide thing.
Well,
he
also changes his mind. He's like, "You know what? Never fuck this. Like, nah, I'm not doing this." And then he tells Michael.
He falls off the ramp.
Yeah.
And then Michael decides to try exactly what Connie just did.
And Connie's like, "Dude, don't go. And you know, it's dangerous. Like, don't do this. Never mind. Let's just go." Trying to tell Michael, "Don't fucking do this."
See, I got the impression that Connie fell on purpose. That way, Michael would go up because he was.
What purpose does that serve?
Because
I mean, they were both climbing up in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just don't trust Connie.
I think that's so strange. No one fucking listens to him. Like, everyone shits on him all the time. No one listens to him. Like, he shows up at the house and he's like, hi. And they're like, oh, this fucking guy again. It's like, what? Okay.
Have some toast.
No, damn it. That's my favorite line in the whole movie.
That I want that gif.
No, that's amazing. That's the sister. That's Susie. But that's after. That's like the
Susie's
next
my absolute favorite character in this movie.
No, that's
period.
Well, yeah, no, we'll talk about that in a minute. Because
yeah,
Connie's
it's
like,
up.
Connie's like, no, don't fucking go. And Michael's like, I'm going to go. And so, you know, he like shimmies up the sluice thing. And goes
the slide.
And, well, it, I mean, yeah, it is for construction. You know, it's like
yeah.
I believe it's a chute.
Yeah,
it's
a there chute. You go. Yeah. And goes inside, and then like half a second later, screams, and that's like it
falls out of the window onto the slide,
like and, you do.
Yeah, we don't see what he sees at that point. He just gets scared by something, and they walk. Well, they don't walk home because.
Oh, yeah.
Connie has to take him home in a shopping cart because he's unconscious.
Yeah, it just cuts.
This is where Michael starts being a little bitch.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Immediately after he gets a fright, he just
weenie-ifies. And yeah, so then Susie, like, there's a knock at the door or whatever, and she goes and opens it. And Connie's there with Michael in a shopping cart, and Michael's, like, knocked out. She's also apparently like a trained doctor or something. Like, she's immediately able to diagnose what has happened.
Amnesia.
Just by taking his temperature.
And the dad's like, oh.
And yeah,
he must have amnesia. You diagnosed
that must it? Be it? Oh my goodness.
You're 10. You should know.
And they blame Connie. They're like, what did you do? And he's like, what the fuck? I told him not to go.
Well, I mean.
And they're like, oh.
Like Chucky said, no one trusts Connie, and you probably shouldn't.
You should.
No.
Yes, you should.
He redeems himself by the end.
He does become the hero of the movie.
Yeah, he fucking does.
yeah, so they diagnose him with amnesia because he can't remember what scared him.
Yeah.
And
then that's it. Like, from what I recall, like, it's just the next morning all of a sudden. And that's where my favorite line comes in. Because Connie shows back up again the next morning.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for Michael to come down.
For breakfast.
Yeah. And the dad is there and he's like, oh, here, are you come to eat all my grapes again? Like, you little fuck. Like, okay, I guess you're here. Because he was like, is it okay if I come over a little early? Like, can I have breakfast? And the dad literally is just like, well, you're already here, so. And
you're
I was
gonna,
like, damn.
So go ahead.
Here, have some fucking grapes.
Like our fish tank in the kitchen?
Yeah. But no, Susie is sitting there and the toaster is like at her elbow. And she looks over at Connie and she was like, you want some toast? And like the timing.
It is perfect.
It pops up. And
God,
if she had just
give him a wink.
No,
that
no. She has perfect. This little smirk on her face. She's like, want some toast?
And then it comes out of
so
the toaster.
Good. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was a baller fucking move.
Oh yeah, and she knew. She knew. In that moment, she's like, yeah, I fucking got this shit. Look what a mom I am.
Yeah, and Michael comes down. Everybody turns around, looks at him, and he's bald because whatever scared him in the house has now scared him bald, which doesn't make sense, but okay.
There's a medical term, thank you, for what happened to him.
Would you like to tell us what that medical term is, Chucky?
Harum scarum?
Harum scarum.
Harum scarum.
Okay, yeah, so he's bald, and they decide that he's not going to go to school that day. Connie leaves to go to school, and they decide they're going to take him to the doctor to figure out what the hell's going on here.
No, the dad blames the cat at first. Because, like, they have this beautiful...
I'm going to wring its neck.
The cat was sleeping on his head.
Yeah, it was just kind of sitting. It wasn't even... It was, like, you know, on the pillow above him, sitting there. And they were like, oh. And, yeah, the dad is convinced that the cat has somehow made Michael go
That's
bald
right.
because he was sitting on his head all night. I hate that cat. And I'm like, what the... Okay.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, they take him to the doctor to figure out what's wrong. This doctor...
But Michael, when they get to the doctor, he's got his hood up and everything, and he's really aggressive and antagonistic toward the doctor for reasons unknown. He's like, yeah, well, maybe you noticed, like, last time you saw me, I had hair. Mm-hmm. Look at this shit, as if like.
And the doctor's like, oh no.
Well, his tax dollars are paying for that health care.
Well, not his tax dollars.
So this doctor grabs a magnifying glass, looks at his scalp, and then says that he's fallen victim to harum scarum.
But the way he explains it.
Yes. Go ahead. You could do it better than I could.
Man, I don't remember exactly how I did it, but see this table. What was it? It's got papers on it or something. And then
he's saying that his hands are the hair follicles and the table is his scalp.
Oh yeah.
And he grabs the desk with his hands and tells Michael to scare him. So Michael yells at him. And when he does, he throws his hands up like he's scared.
Yeah. But Michael just barely does it. And then he doesn't react immediately. And then goes, I guess I'm supposed to be scared now. And then he jumps back.
Jumps back.
Imagine that's your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tells him, it's a case of harum scarum. And he's like, can you guys help me find that PhD? I know it's around here somewhere. But this doctor is, we find out later on, that he is also the brother of the senor.
Which, and so is the art dealer.
The art dealer is also their brother.
I don't know why any.
And they all have different names, too.
And accents and everything. Why are they brothers?
And not only that, but for
some. Maybe there's like another cut of this movie that explains all of this shit.
Maybe.
I would hope so, because they didn't do a very good job.
Version. I do have the theatrical cut.
I'm not watching this again. You can watch it and report back.
I paid for it and I'm not watching it.
But yes, all three of them are brothers. And then for some reason, they decide they're going to say that they have a fourth brother that's dead. Why they mention that, I don't know. Because
again, that's some of the behind the scenes lore building. Like how one of the brothers' name is Rabbit, the art dealer. His name is just Mr. Rabbit. But it's never mentioned.
Maybe it has something to do with the other stories from the series.
Maybe there's some crossover.
Yeah.
So Michael has now been diagnosed with harum scarum, and they take him back home. That night, he wants to call his mother, so he walks downstairs with the flashlight, grabs the phone, and dials like the operator and asks what time it is in Australia. And as he's doing that, he sees like the shadow on the wall of people in his kitchen. So he puts the phone down and goes in there. And there's two like homeless people.
We missed that toward the beginning of the movie when they were on their way to school.
Oh yeah.
No, before even that. That first opening scene, that's how the movie opens, with him doing some voiceover like narration about like how sad things are or whatever. And he gave his last bit of money to this guy, this homeless guy.
Mm.
And you know, the woman's next to him.
Yeah. So this is like, I guess it's like a homeless couple. I don't know if they're, together.
They definitely act like a married couple when she's teasing him with the recipe later on. And then the guy's like, all right. Cause then they start like flirting and he's like, well, if you're going to be mean, I'm just going to have to. And I was like, right. Can you not do this over a child's bed? But anyways. But
yeah. They're these two elderly homeless people are in their kitchen just stealing their food.
Yeah.
And Michael walks up and he's like, oh, what are you doing? They're like, what the fuck does
and
it look
in
like?
In a really relaxed manner. Like, it's very casual.
Yeah, he's not.
They brought boxes, like cardboard boxes. And they're like, all right, I'm just going to slowly load up on like the pancake mix and random shit in your cupboards.
And Michael's first thought here is like, you're going to wake up my dad. Stop.
What the fuck are you doing in my kitchen?
And they're like, well, no, we're not going to wake up your dad. We're only making noise because you can see the noise we're making.
Because we're ghosts.
We're ghosts now. Okay, we've got ghost things. Look, you're looking at us, and that's how we're making noise. Close your eyes, and I'll prove it.
Yeah, no, the guy is like, yeah, no, we sizzled in seconds in that fire. He says something weird
that's where you find out
the house.
Maybe they started the fire.
That burned down.
Or maybe Connie killed them. Who knows?
Or maybe it's really shoddy construction work, and it was some kind of electrical nonsense. Like, who the fuck knows? Again, I didn't see any actual fire damage in the fucking house, so I don't.
Yeah,
maybe it was a ghost fire.
So Michael's like, unaffected by the fact that there are burglars in his home stealing their food. Tells him,
burglars.
Yeah, finds out that they're ghosts. And he's like, oh, well, I mean, that's cool, I guess. But, like, what are you going to do about my problem? See, I'm bald.
And I'm disgusted.
And the female there is like, well, I have a remedy for that. And she sits down and she pulls out this piece of paper. Michael tries to grab it. And she's like, no, this is my last prized possession. My only treasure in this world. You can't have it. You can learn it, but you can't have it. So she's going over this list of ingredients that he needs to.
She's so just like, I don't know, because she's like one overripe banana. And then pause it. Yeah.
Put it on my head.
Well, but yeah, she's like one overripe banana. And then like half a second later, she's like, say it out loud. Like, repeat what I said.
Repeat what I'm saying. And then, and by the way, the way he says that is so Canadian. One really ripe banana.
Is that, you just sounded like Terrence and Phillip.
Yeah.
That's not actual Canadian.
That's exactly how he sounds when he says it.
Whatever.
It's the only ingredient he repeats that I'm like, that was a weird fucking way to say.
One overripe banana, put it on my head. Five dead flies.
Put it on my head.
No. Them.
Them.
And I was like.
Put them on my head.
No, to be fair, I was like, in that moment, I was like, yes, thank you. That is grammatically correct.
There's a rotten egg. There's like nine scoops of dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, soil.
Mm-hmm.
From the yard.
Yeah. I don't remember what else.
Peanut butter, of course.
Well, that's the final ingredient to bind it all together. And that makes it. And I see, I was like, because you were like, why the fuck is this called peanut butter solution when there's a lot of stuff in it? And I maintain, if you look at it from like a science perspective, a solution is like a combination of things all mixed together into like a homogeneous whole made up of many parts. And it's the peanut butter that binds everything that turns it into a solution.
But you can't bind it too much.
No.
You got to be happy with the sloppy solution.
That's right.
Because if you make it too thick.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the reason we got a movie.
He used his imagination and altered the recipe.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. This is
about he was just pissed off because it was dripping into his face.
I know.
He's like, man, it's getting all over the place. Maybe if I just add a little bit of peanut butter.
First of all, before he even does this solution that he puts on his head, he first makes a solution.
Oh yeah.
Because then his dad and sister have been watching him just creep around and
gather
the night,
all the ingredients.
Like when he was outside, they're like watching him through the window and he's outside getting soil.
What's he doing?
Yeah, don't Why is ask. He doing? Like
your kid may be going through some kind of mental shit right now. Yeah. He's been
clearly
bald.
Unwell. He's been sobbing everywhere. Like, but they don't ever ask him. They literally are like, and go. And like rush in and again pin him down. And he's like, no.
No. They see
him.
It
reminds
me
of Natalia Grace.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah.
They watch him gather all these ingredients and put him in a blender. And they think he's going to drink it. And that's when they like grab him. And the sister takes the blender.
And she pours it out.
Yeah, she pours it in the toilet or something.
Yeah, she flushes it down the toilet while the dad has him like in like a
and Michael's just like
hold or something.
I wasn't gonna drink it, and he's like, "Oh, okay.
Oh well, all right. Good night." Which again, he was being quiet in the middle of the night, so I don't know why.
Except with the blender.
Well, but they were already there. They had already been watching him gather the ingredients. They were watching for a while before they fucking confronted him.
Yeah. So. Now he has to remake the peanut butter solution to put on his head. And he makes the solution in the bathroom. Or no, he makes it at the table and then takes it in the bathroom. Yeah. And it's too runny. It's like running down his face and getting his eyes and shit. And he's like.
Looking like Giuliani and shit.
Yeah. He's like, well, I need to thicken this up with some peanut butter.
I'm going to have to add more peanut butter. And then he
One,
he says,
two, three, four, five more scoops of peanut butter should do it.
Yeah, he says five spoons should do it, but then adds one.
Yeah. And half-ass stirs it.
Yeah.
And then starts putting it on his head. He's like, yeah, that's good. It's working.
That's where it is.
And goes to bed. Well, I guess he takes a shower.
Well, later on. No, he goes to bed because it's dry. He takes a shower in the morning.
Okay, yeah.
He lets
it dries
it dry
on his head.
Overnight. And then like.
Washes it off in the shower.
And then nothing has changed. And then he throws another fit because he's still bald.
Yeah. And then comes down for breakfast one day, and he's got little stubble hairs growing in his.
Yeah, which again, how she saw that, I have no idea. Because she's like, oh, "Your head? What is that on your head?" And I'm like, what do you? Okay.
There were little patches. It was probably the quality because of YouTube.
You could tell there was maybe patchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Blu-ray, you could see little patches at that point.
Yeah, so she goes and grabs a magnifying glass.
A lot of magnifying glasses on this child's head in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, only two, but that's a lot.
She's looking at it, and she's like, oh, yeah, you got little baby hairs growing. And,
yeah, look at that.
And then calls the dad down there, and he's all happy. And during this scene, the hair is growing.
Well, but when she's calling him, he's up there, and he's like, God, what now? Like, he's again fucking angry that he has children. But then once he gets down there, he's like, oh, hey, it's fucking.
Hey, buddy, good job.
Man, that's some hair.
We left out the fucking.
What?
The wig scene.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, there was a whole lot of shit. You're right.
Yes,
there was a whole soccer game and everything.
There's a scene before he puts, before he gets the solution, the peanut butter solution before ingredients, he
sees the ghosts,
the
in
recipe.
His, yeah, he doesn't eat before all of that.
They try to put a wig on him, and he doesn't want it.
Right, because that's after he was crying in the corner like a mom. He was mom crying, and so
remember when he was playing the drums and Connie?
That was later, oh, but before the solution. We skipped like,
I'm sorry, the drum scene wasn't important, but I think the soccer scene was pretty
scene is
good.
Important, yeah.
Because it reminded me so much of that Beyond the Black Rainbow scene where he takes the wig off and it's all stretchy.
Yeah,
except
like,
the children chase him down the street and they've already got a song made up for him.
Oh, yeah, no, they had that shit at the ready. Well, because he went, like, he was crying, and so they pinned him down and put a wig on him, and he's like, but it comes right off! And then, so they glue it to his head. And then suddenly he's like, oh, I'm beautiful! And so then he can rejoin the world. And he goes back to school, and he plays soccer. Mm-hmm. And there's this, like, the other team are all assholes in the world.
One of them is clearly an adult.
Yeah, oh yeah, no. Yes.
Connie's like, watch out for that pack. Watch out for that guy. He's bad. And they kind of show a little close-up of him, and you guys wouldn't have been able to tell, but he had a mustache.
He decides to trip him in the most like pussy ass fucking like falling down I've ever seen out of a child. Like,
this is the most fake fall I've ever seen.
But yeah, so he gets up and he says, "Yo, you tripped me!" Like, and he's whining about that. Like, even if that happened, dude, I played soccer. It fucking happens. You ignore that shit and keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, you keep going.
But whatever.
But Michael decides to punch him.
He tries
a kid twice his size.
Oh yeah.
And this guy
he's got his wig, so he's got his confidence back.
Yes. So this other kid just grabs him and like pulls his hair off. How he knew he was wearing a wig,
I think he just grabbed his head to keep him from punching him. And then it came off in his hand because you could see the little white.
Yeah, I know.
What reminded me of Beyond the Black Rainbow was the little thing.
He just
starts crying and then
like
running.
Runs away, and like the game is over. Apparently, there's no coaches, there's no anything because everybody on both soccer teams chases after him.
We thought we were gonna go out for pizza afterwards.
He's got his like shirt up over his head, like Cornholio style, so he can hide his
just
disgusting
chasing
baldness.
Him through the neighborhood.
And he's just running and crying because that's what he does. And yeah, they do have a song ready, like they're chasing and running after him.
I think that they were just chasing him for miles and they just worked up a song.
Oh, yeah.
Like one kid came up with it and then they just started repeating it.
Yay.
Because he runs all the way home.
He runs across town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had time to write that song on the journey.
By the way, if you're being chased by a mob of people, the last thing you want them knowing is where you live. But anyway, he decides to go home and now he's crying and Susie makes him a sandwich.
And he screams at her through the door. Like, that's a nice looking lunch.
Yeah.
Like,
magic glue, huh? Won't come off, huh? Yeah, he's a little bitch.
This kid, dude. I'm so punchable.
Okay, back the detour being over.
Okay, so he's now growing hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now Connie gets a magnifying glass. She sees he's growing hair.
Susie.
Oh, yeah, Susie. Sorry. she says he's growing hair. The dad comes down to congratulate him. And through this scene, like, he's noticeably growing hair.
Yeah. And that is like the one legitimate, like, I think from a filmmaking perspective, really well done and well thought out. Cause
until the point where
it's no longer real.
Oh yeah.
Hair.
No, it's no longer real hair. It really quickly becomes not real hair, but at least that trip up the stairs to the bathroom and Connie's there. Cause Connie shows up for breakfast because he's always there.
They walk to school together.
Yes.
He shows up every morning to go to
school. Yeah, he has a family because he even sees his sister in school later on. And she's like, mom says to come straight home after.
I don't
and
then think he they love him.
I don't know.
He's always at their house eating breakfast or dinner.
I mean, there's a whole thing at the end about his dad.
Yeah.
And how he says, my dad will die in a plane crash. And then I won't have it. Yeah.
How did I miss that?
We'll get there. So Connie shows up and they all go up to the bathroom on the second floor together. And
Michael and Connie.
Michael and Connie. The other two wait outside. Michael and Connie go in the bathroom. And he's noticeably, he has more hair. Like, it's been a couple of weeks as far as filming goes by this point. Because, like, you know,
he's got a full head of hair.
Well, but it's like close. Like, it's close cropped and everything, but it is there.
It looks like his normal.
Connie immediately starts thinking about his balls.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's like, so how did you do this? And he shows him the solution. And he's like, all right, cool. I'm going to put some down there. And I was
get
like,
out of your bathroom and let me like, do what I need to do.
I need to do this. And I was like, please, God, is this, are you?
Pushes him out of the door. What? Closes it so that he can rub the solution all over his balls.
All his child balls I don't like.
So he can get pubic hair.
He's like, hell yeah, I've got the plan.
Which is completely unnecessary. It is not essential to the plot whatsoever.
It did not need to happen. Nothing. There was no payoff. There was no anything.
The payoff is the fact that it happened. And that when you're describing this, when you're describing this movie to your friends, that is just part of the spice.
It is a talking point for sure. Anyway, so yeah, they're all excited. And by the time he comes back out of the bathroom, it is a full head of hair. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And
it's starting to get a little long.
Yeah. So he goes to school.
Yep. They go to school. And they're sitting in class and the hair is like, you could just see it growing at this point. It's like obviously a wig.
But only certain sections. It's like specific curls are like coming forward.
Yeah, like little antenna.
By this point it's gone from his hair to a bad wig. There's a succession of really bad wigs meant to be his real hair. Because his, like, wig hair was not terrible, right? When it was meant to be a wig, like, in story. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
But once it's his actual hair. So his hair's just growing out of control, presumably because he added too much peanut butter to the peanut butter solution. Yes. And now it's, like, gone off the rails.
That's what the ghost lady told him at the beginning.
She said, don't do more.
Don't
like
put
this
too
is
much.
This is what it is. It's
and
like
he said. Well, what happens if I do more? I don't know, but you shouldn't do it.
Don't do it. And yeah, and so then it's just a succession of scenes of his hair growing longer and longer and becoming a problem. And by the time it's dinner time. Like, he's just, it's like almost like Cousin It. He's just, you can see the tip of his nose.
Also, Cousin It.
Yeah.
Susie has made dinner, and she made Toronto noodle soup.
Oh, yeah, what is that? But,
it's nothing.
Well, but the dad is, like, super excited about it. He's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and they're using wine glasses to drink Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah, and Connie's there for dinner, too.
Yeah, even though his sister at school told him, mom said come straight home after school.
Yes.
So naturally, he's going to go over there to have dinner.
Yes.
What is Toronto noodle soup?
I have no idea.
It's just like egg noodles covered in poutine.
he's at the dinner table now, and he's knocking shit over because he can't see because his hair is so fucking long.
All he needs to do is tie it back.
Yeah, put it in a tail. You know this is going to be a problem. So
he was like, can you cut my bangs for me? And she's like, what? I'm fucking eating. Like, what?
No, she's like, why would I cut them? Don't you know I would kill for hair like yours?
Yeah, that's true.
Which she could do. She could go put that on her fucking head and have hair just like him. But anyway, so yeah, they have dinner. Michael goes to bed, and isn't he like stringing his hair up on like a fucking hook?
Oh, so yeah, no, that's something that like ladies used to do long ago, like, you know, like Victorian and even earlier, you know, there would be this like kind of pulley system for their elaborate hair, because it also gets really heavy. Mm-hmm. And it also,
yes, like, so I've back seen then, pictures of this.
It, like, you didn't wash it very often. It was hard to keep it brushed. So they would hang it up, like, or their women would, right? Their lady maids or whatever would have it up and over so she could sleep, you know, with her head on the pillow and the rest of her hair is just up, like, in a series of hooks and pulleys above her. That's true.
So, yeah, he's got this situation where he's putting his hair up on a hook so he can sleep. And the next day, he and Connie are in school, and Connie's, like, cutting his hair because Connie's desk is behind his, so he's cutting his hair behind him. And the other kids in class are like, teacher, this is weird. It's, like, still growing. And then, like, the teacher turns around and tells him, like, you know, this is a classroom, not a barbershop. He walks over there and tells him to cut it out or whatever, and then goes back to trying to teach the class, and Connie's still cutting his hair.
From the end, which is something
from
in Eddie Burback's video. He was like, why don't you cut it like at the base of his, like, yeah, at the scalp?
Yeah, exactly.
Which, yes.
But no, he's cutting it from the bottom of the hair, and he's just cutting it.
He's cutting like the last 3 inches off every 10 seconds or something.
Yeah, so the teacher tells him to go to the principal. And both of them go.
Yeah, again, why Connie is, like, blamed for all of this?
Because he's cutting the hairs. So I guess he's involved.
It's on his desk!
Yeah, but if they just got rid of Michael, Connie's problem would be solved because he wouldn't be there cutting his hair.
So Connie shouldn't have to go to the principal's office or later be asked to not return to school. They don't want you there!
Yeah. So in the principal's office, the principal tells them, okay, you're being too much of a distraction, and three of your teachers have said they're going to resign if you come back.
They're going
to
quit their job.
So you're going to have to go home and never come back to school now.
Also, from what I can tell, Toronto noodle soup is not a thing.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, I just, you never fucking know. All this
It's something that Susie created.
It's like a family recipe.
Yes, it's a family thing.
Like when I say paprikas, you know what I mean, but really it's like Hungarian chicken paprika stuff.
It's like Red Dwarf. Chutney Vindaloo.
Oh, God, Red Dwarf.
So, yeah, the principal is telling them now that they need to not come back to school because both of them, by the way. And Connie is sitting there and she's like, and Connie, I think you have a little problem too. And she points down at his legs and the camera pans down.
Maybe that's why he can't come back, because she sees he's got a hair problem too. But yeah, no, he's got a lot of
pubic hair.
It's not though. It's just silky black hair.
Yeah, it's growing out of the bottom of his pants.
Yeah.
It's like the Natalia Grace situation. They saw the pubic hair and they're like, this can't
this
be a child.
Yeah, this must be an adult.
You need to go to high school.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
You got too much pubic hair for middle school, boy.
I just imagine him stepping on it while he's walking.
Ow.
And how bad that would hurt. But
again, it's clearly not pubic hair. But I'm not gonna.
It's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
Why I don't know. But
you mean because of how straight it is?
And shiny. It's clearly a wig that was like forced down this child's pants.
I'm sure there are plenty of people
well conditioned
with shiny straight pubic hair out there.
If you're listening to this and you have shiny straight pubic hair, leave a comment. Let us know. Is that a thing? Yeah. Tell me about your pubes.
Please don't do that.
Please do.
So yeah, anyways, now they go back home and
hold on, you missed one of the best lines though, because when they're in the class, which keep in mind, Michael voluntarily had not been in school for weeks because he was disgustingly bald. His words, not mine.
Yeah.
And he goes back to school and now they're kicking him out because he has too much hair. And what is the line he says? He's like, I'm something about being concerned about
his education. I just want to learn.
I want to be educated. That's what it is. I want to be educated.
He's like, for 2 weeks I was bald and couldn't come to school. And so I had to fix that problem, and now I did, and now my hair doesn't stop growing, and my only chance is for this guy to keep cutting it.
It's like that.
Please, teacher, let me stay. Yeah. I want to be educated.
It's like that fucking video that went viral with that kid with the long hair, and he's standing up in front of the class, and he's saying, it was from like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. You don't remember that?
No.
What happens?
I think he just saw this movie and then started yelling the scene from it at his teacher, but in broken, white boy trying to be homie English.
What are you talking about?
He was yelling
about wanting to be educated?
A viral video where he was yelling at the teacher for showing movies in class or something, and he really wanted to learn something, and then, but I mean,
valid point.
He sounded like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob.
I do not like him.
No, I've not seen this video at all. But
that does sound very similar. But yeah, anyway, so he wants to be educated, but now he's forced it. When you didn't fucking care yesterday.
Was this the scene where he walks home in the wind?
No, that's the next day. Because that's the next morning, because he's demanding to go to school. He's going to go. And that's when the dad and the sister are on the porch while he's trying to leave. And the dad the dad was like, no, they don't want you there. They told us you're not supposed to go.
Okay, so Susie and the father are cleaning leaves off of the porch while in the most windy fucking conditions.
It's like a get indoors type of windy. You do not. Yeah,
you don't rake up the leaves in the wind.
That's kind of pointless. But no, they don't want you. They called. They don't want you there.
Come back, Mike. And it's just
They're all gonna laugh at you.
So Michael is walking to school in the wind.
But it drags on the ground behind him.
It's 7 feet long.
It's getting caught up in trees. It's giving him whiplash almost.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how they kept that wig on the child's head, the actor in all of that wind.
Mm.
That's kind of impressive.
Staples.
So while he's walking in the wind, he's having a hard time walking, so he just curls up under the neighbor's porch and goes to sleep.
He just kind of leans up against this small brick wall next to this porch and closes his
eyes.
He's all right, nap time. Okay.
And then a shadowy figure who, by the way, is this senior.
Probably because he's seen his dad do it many times.
Yeah, no, that's valid.
A shadowy figure who is the senor walks up. And it fades to black.
No, because he looks down at him, because he speaks to him in Italian and says something about how he's beautiful now, or the hair's beautiful. I don't know enough Italian to know exactly what he said, but it was something along those lines.
If you say
so. He's like, oh, well, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Well, and then it
fades. Then it fades to black.
I hope, I think he's talking about his hair.
I would hope so. It is. And then we get newspaper articles flashing on the screen about how children in the neighborhood are disappearing.
Yeah, this is apparently meant to be a time skip situation, but that wasn't clear to me, because all of a sudden it's multiple newspapers.
Right.
One kid disappeared, Michael disappeared, 5 kids disappeared, 10 kids disappeared.
Connie's little sister disappeared.
And this is that scene you were talking about where now we've got, first of all, the dad is up in the attic trying to paint, and he's just throwing his shit around.
It wasn't clear to me that time had passed. So I was, and because he's got a picture, he's painted a picture of a bald kid, right?
Yeah,
and
it looks like a Holocaust survivor.
No, it's not. He's very gaunt, and haunted, this child painting. And he's just throws some shit around.
He's supposed to be real distraught over the loss of Michael, so he's throwing his shit around, but it comes off like Neil Breen when he's throwing shit on his computer. But anyway, then
and Susie's all upset too and trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, so she and Connie are downstairs on the couch trying to figure out a plan to get Michael back and figure out what's happening to the kids in the neighborhood, because Connie's sister has also been kidnapped.
Yeah, and she even says something about we could do better than those dumb cops or something.
She was talking about
cops.
How we need to convince our dad to help us because he's smart. He's way smarter than those dumb old cops.
Yeah.
So Chucky mentioned earlier in the podcast, they never show the scene where they get the father to comply with their plan or how they talk him into it. They just are now doing it.
Yeah.
And, but they said that the father was too upset about the loss of Michael. They need to get him painting again so he can start clearing his mind to help them.
Oh, because he broke all his paintbrushes.
Right. She mentioned all the paintbrushes. So now they have to go get him another paintbrush.
Okay. So I think I was already falling asleep off and on during this point.
Yeah, that's
so
why they
that's
go.
That's why they go to the fucking paintbrush store. Yeah.
And they're looking at this paintbrush and they're like,
it's a terrible paintbrush.
This is a weird looking paintbrush. It's made out of human hair. And Susie's there with Connie and she's like, I know this hair. I've cut this hair.
Well, yeah,
it's Michael's hair.
Yeah, the guy who owns the shop had come up and said, well, you know, these are special brushes. It's $20 or whatever. I thought he said 25, but you said he said 20.
$20.
Okay. You know, and it's far too large. It's made like the handle is fucking weird. It looks like a tiny table leg or something. Like it, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
And the bristle or the brush part of it
it's
is
too
way
long.
Too long.
It's too
like
floppy.
Floppy. That this would not be a good paintbrush.
It looks like one of the paintbrushes from Fantasia.
Yeah, like if Disney drew a paintbrush, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they were going for.
I don't know. All you
find out
do.
It's magical.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, spoilers.
So they're talking to the guy at the shop.
I know his hair. I've cut this hair.
They're talking to the guy at the shop. And they're like, where did you get this? And he's like, I'm not saying anything until you buy something. So they're like, okay, and they're pulling money out, and they're paying for the paintbrush. And
well,
then he says,
yeah, he's like, I don't know, some guy delivers.
I don't really know the guy. His name is the Senor. He comes over every Saturday in a red truck and drops off the supplies. And it's like, well, first of all, you're the one that orders the supplies,
you
should really know where this shit's coming.
He owns this store. Like, this does not seem big enough to have employees.
No, there's
so
no other.
So why don't you fucking know who you're doing business with, my guy? I think he just didn't want to say. Because he knows there's, because he recommended the brush and he was like, it's special. You know, I assume
yeah, like
he
it's
knows
a bestseller.
It's magical or something,
yeah.
But doesn't want to actually say or give away his source.
No, what's happening is he sells brush to the kids. The kids find out he's in on it with
That's
the senor. He's the guy that's fishing for the kids. And the senor will throw him a couple $100. If he brings him his kids, like Dean Corll, and you know, and the candy kids, and
I'm familiar with the
pool
with it.
Table.
Oh, yeah, it was the cool place for all the teenagers
and
to
that
hang
cool
out.
Sled they got.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael's on a sled by the end of the movie.
He is.
So now. Connie and Susie are waiting outside. They come back on the next Saturday because that's when the shipment comes in. And they're waiting outside of this place. And they see the senor pull up and go inside to drop off some paintbrushes. And they're already there. They've got like a hose. They've got a bag of sugar
and
a funnel. Because their plan here, their plan is
flawless.
For Connie
flawless.
To get in the back of the truck, put this tube out of the door and pour sugar into a funnel connected to the tube so that it leaves a trail of sugar that Susie can follow so they can figure out where the truck is going.
Yeah, so the senor goes in, Connie gets in the back of the truck, and she's just being super casual next to her bike. And the senor comes out, and he hits on her.
He's like,
hey.
You want to go for a ride in my car?
And yeah, like, hey, little girl.
She's like, no, I prefer my bike, thanks.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but if he is kidnapping children, he wouldn't just walk up to a kid and ask them to get in the car and then let him get away.
Yeah,
because there's plenty of kids that he would let get away that he would they would tell the cops.
Why would you even do that? It's in the papers. Multiple children have gone missing.
Now she can go give the police a description of what
of
you look
a
like.
A very specific guy.
Yeah, somebody who looks like nobody else in the world looks like
in
you.
In a bright, like candy apple red, big fucking van. Not like, it's not like a rape van. Like it's one of the like.
No, it's a delivery van.
Yeah.
It's a laundry van.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So but the thing I noticed was, and I think it was just to just make the movie even fucking longer, was whenever she's following the sugar trail And the street sweeper comes by.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, it ruined my sugar trail. Why don't you just follow the tracks of the street sweeper until you see sugar, you stupid child?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No, it's because they had another scene that they just came up with. Like, well,
it's been days. She doesn't find them for days. But no, like the amount of sugar required.
Yeah, it was like a 3-pound bag.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That would not have made it down the fucking road. It's a wide, because it's like a broom handle. It's like a hollow broom handle.
What he should have done was take a scoop and every like.
Man, just plop. First of all, what they should have done is they both should have got in the truck. Well, the sugar was not even necessary.
They should have called the cops once they had the information on where this fucking shit was coming
from.
But
if this was your plan, was to get Connie in the back of this truck, you should have got in there with him and just driven to where they were going.
Well, no, because then they could be, because they didn't know what was going to be at the other end, right? So if Connie got caught, which he does end up happening, the senor doesn't even seem that surprised when he fucking opens it. He's like, oh, there you are. But then they both would have been caught. Susie needed to be free. Yeah, yes. Yeah, Susie needed to be free to figure out where it was to then let the cops know or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why she didn't.
I guess it wouldn't be beneficial if they both got caught.
No.
But regardless, she loses the sugar trail and the senor pulls up into his warehouse and opens the back of the truck and grabs Connie and takes him inside. And it turns out that the senor is the one that's kidnapping all these kids. They're all there. They're on a sweatshop assembly line making the hair or the paintbrushes
that are made from Michael's hair. And they've got Michael like up in this weird bed in a loft with like this like.
Yeah, it's like hole, a silo with his hair coming out of it.
Yes, his hair just trails down and they're like cutting the hair as it grows and making these paintbrushes.
And at this point, it's growing fast enough that it
you
just.
Forgot goes. About the senor's hair coat. And the hair.
His hair coat.
No, the hair everywhere. Like, the hallways have hair on them.
Yes.
He's like, obsessed with hair.
Everything's made of hair in the place. I mean, it's like Native Americans with buffaloes and shit.
But, like, I don't understand any of this. Like, that means he saw Michael taking a nap against the wall and was like, ah, business plan.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know it's magical at this point. He doesn't know it, like.
No, again, kid logic. As a kid watching this movie,
did he know the kid was bald at one point?
Yes,
I don't remember.
Because
I still don't understand why he thinks it's automatically magical.
Okay, well then all of a sudden he's got hair like that.
But human hair doesn't make good paintbrushes, and he's an artist, and he should know that.
And it certainly didn't mean it was magical.
Well, I can get that something weird was going on, because where did all this hair come out of nowhere? Sure.
But also, it's the senor already has paintings that he's been painting.
Yeah.
Before Michael
That's
shows
what
up,
I'm saying. I, it's
he's
like
already got
he
magical
knows.
Paintbrushes
he,
somehow.
He instantly understands the uses for
this
hair.
Maybe it's just children's hair. Maybe it's just children's hair that make magic paintbrushes, and he finds the cash cow. The he only has to have one child to create the hair, and then he can use all the other children that he's been kidnapping
to actually make the brushes.
And maybe so he produces even more.
So so this could be a warning. Because like you could, if all children's hair make magic paintbrushes, it could be argued that's because they haven't lost their imagination yet.
You know right? what? Hey, you,
I'm
you
just
might
saying,
be onto something.
And because
then why does he tell them not to use their imagination?
Because he's trying to fight against he's trying to help them. Because this, and then it could be argued that all of the child stealing and all of that is just goes to show what happens when you don't fucking listen. If you let your imagination run away, you're going to end up with your hair being made into paintbrushes, because it's still got that sparkle of imagination in it that allows to make it magic. And he's like, dude, I fucking told you. It's like when a kid is like threatening to throw a fit or something and you're like, all right, it's the counting to three. The whole like ripping up the dog paintings and all of that shit at the beginning. It's like, I'm fucking warning you. One.
Yeah.
Two. All right. I'm going to kidnap you and make your hair into paintbrushes.
You're going to work on my assembly line.
I fucking told you.
This is a ridiculous fucking.
Where are we now?
Yeah, so the children are there. Connie is now part of the assembly line. He sits down, and one of the kids is telling him that, like, he's like, we got to make 500 of these brushes every day or we don't get to eat. And so Connie's like, well, okay, how do you do it? And he's like, well, you take the hair part and you put it on the handle part. Like,
oh, yeah, I was absolutely asleep by this point. Yes, I slept through this. Because when I woke up, Senor was making the painting.
Well, he sees his sister there, too. Connie's sister is part of this assembly line. She doesn't even seem to be all that thrilled to see him. She's just like, oh, are you here to save us? And he's like,
there you are.
Absolutely. But, yeah.
Well, because he assumes that the sugar trail worked and, you know, that Susie will be right behind. So I assume that's why he's
not
super
upset. What is Susie
going to
do?
Well, she can figure out
where. Theoretically, she's going to bring the cops.
Well, and that's it. That's what happens in the end.
She tells her dad.
She wasn't going to bring the cops. She said in the first place that her dad's better than the stupid cops.
Yes.
So well, I know, but the cops still end up showing up along with the dad and both of the senior's living brothers at the end.
Okay, so.
Okay. And they're first through the door.
Susie does not even figure this out.
No,
she lost the sugar trail. She's just riding her bike one day and sees the trail.
Well, I found my sugar trail.
Yes.
And then she starts following the trail and finds out where it is. But the way the father figures things out is he's having dinner with Susie and their doctor. They're eating dinner.
I was asleep during this.
And the doctor is telling them about his brothers. He's like, yeah, me and my brothers, I've got four. One's dead. One's an art dealer and one's a teacher at school. His name is the Senor. And they're like, the Senor? He's like, yeah, you know him? And he's like, we need to find him. He's the one that's kidnapping the children.
There are multiple times in this movie where several people at once all say, the Senor. Yeah. It happens at least twice.
That's how I know his name. Because they say
it's not even his name, though. That's just what he goes by.
Yeah, her
means
the brother tells them the name during the dinner.
That's just like Mr.
He says his real name is yada yada, but he's been going by the name Senor for some reason.
Yeah, my other brother's named the Rabbit, and he's an art dealer, and they work together. The Senor sells paintings to the Rabbit, and they're like, now this makes sense. Okay, we need to go visit your brother, the art dealer, and ask him where the Senor is. So they drive over to the art store that the gallery. What do you call that place? It's like,
I was asleep. Ask Chucky.
It was just an art supply store.
No. This is where they sell the paintings. It's not the art, not the supply shop where they get the paintbrush.
So
this is a different
gallery.
It's a gallery.
Okay.
So they go there and they're threatening with force to figure out where the Senor is. And he's like, I can't tell you. If I do, he'll stop giving me his paintings
to
sell.
But Susie already fucking knows where he is. Oh, you're saying that's how the dad... But you said Susie was there.
I don't think she was...
I was asleep. I don't know. But it doesn't make any sense for Susie to be there along for all of that.
Okay,
because otherwise, why wouldn't she just be like, yeah, my sugar trail?
Okay, so what the art dealer tells them is that the Senor comes by every Friday.
Saturday.
No. That was the supply store.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The gallery, it's every Friday night. He comes and drops off
paintings. Okay.
And so they're like, God, it's only Tuesday. We got a long time to wait. So Susie then is out riding her bike and sees the sugar trail.
Oh, okay.
And then tells them, hey.
I fell asleep more than once.
I found the sugar trail and now I know where they are. And that's when the dad shows up with Senor's brother, the rabbit, both of the brothers.
The rabbit and the Susie's harem scarab doctor.
And there's two cops.
The cops are the last through the door.
Yeah.
That's why I was
The dad comes in and says,
the brothers,
stick them up, freeze.
Yeah, and he does like karate hands.
Yeah, he's got like the karate stance.
He does karate hands.
Oh my God. So yeah, and then the police are the last ones to come in. And
everything's, before that.
Yeah,
you have to do the performance.
Yes. So one of the kids, and this is my favorite line in the movie, because Connie is trying to figure out how they're going to escape. And one of the kids is there and he's like, I've got a way to escape, but it's no good. What? Then why bring it up? And he's like, yeah, follow me. And he takes him into a room where the Senor's been painting these paintings. He's like, these paintings are so realistic that you could just walk right into them. He's like, well...
That kid reminded me a lot of Ted from Bill and Ted.
Yeah, he's definitely like airheadish. But he's telling him, yeah, you can walk right into these paintings.
That's the power of imagination.
Yeah. And they're like, well, let's walk into these paintings, get the hell out of here. And he's like, no, it's not good because all of these are fictional places. He doesn't paint any real places that you could actually like escape into. And then the Signor shows up while he's explaining this to them, and he does his little dance performance showing them.
Started talking about how, because when I woke up, he was dancing, and Connie was calling him dad, and I was like, what the fuck? And yeah, you told me.
Connie tells him that him and his dad don't get along.
Yeah.
But then he says the weirdest sentence. He says, my dad dies in a plane crash, as if
it hasn't happened yet.
He's just foreseen this happening.
And I've always wanted a dad like
it's
you.
It's a premonition.
And he does the whole Rufio Robin Hood fucking thing, and he's like, you know, I want you to be my dad. And then,
yeah,
don't you talk shit about Rufio. I'm still sad.
So this is how they decide they're going to thwart the Signor.
So the Signor is now like fully, he buys this immediately?
Yes.
Okay. And he's just changed.
Without question. He even mentions,
he's going to dance for
the children. He mentions that he always wanted a son and he never had kids. So Connie's like, well, I could be your kid. And he starts calling him dad. And he's like, dad, I want to see you make one of your paintings. And they trick him into painting a mural of the house that Michael went into at the beginning of the movie, yes, and gets scared.
The condemned house, yeah.
Because
he does this creepy dance.
And he just kind of puts the brush in different places. Because I woke up when he was dancing.
The fucking music.
Do you remember Mr. Noodle from Sesame Street?
Yeah, that was Michael Jeter.
Yes,
Mr. Noodle. Yeah.
Well,
in Elmo's world.
He does his best Mr. Noodle impersonation.
He's doing this weird
child trafficker, Mr. Noodle. Oh.
He's doing this weird interpretive dance while he's just
he
like,
just kind of puts the brush to the thing and then like
tapping the canvas.
Because they're magic. It's a magic brush made from magic child hair. So
it was like those Ronald McDonald commercials where he'd be dancing with a paintbrush.
And it just like paints itself.
It's
like kind
of like Bob Ross at the beginning of his show when he just like smears the giant paintbrush.
Or Reading Rainbow.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all in that same vein where he's just touching the canvas.
And like it's
and little,
appearing in
yeah,
bits
little bits
around.
Of the painting are appearing.
He's not like actually painting.
Yeah.
He's just kind of touching it in places and the painting reveals itself.
And then once he's finished with the painting, it turns out it's the house that Michael got scared in. And Connie talks him into going into, or Connie says he wants to go in the painting and go in the house. And Signor's like, no, it's too dangerous. I'll go.
So my son,
Signor,
my beloved son.
The Signor walks into the painting. He goes into the house and he gets scared by the ghost that scared Michael. And he falls out of the painting and now he's bald.
But, you know, as soon as he went into the house, I was yelling at Connie to, like, burn the painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking close
set it
that
on
shit
fire.
Down. Close the
paint
portal.
Over it.
Same
so
thing.
Fucking, yes.
Why would you not do it?
No, we'll just wait. We'll just see how this plays
out. They just applaud him when he's going in.
Yeah. Oh,
all
good job, dad. What? These are all kidnapped children, man. Okay.
Yeah, after he gets scared, he falls out of the painting and he's like indisposed of for a second.
Yeah, and that's when the dad and everybody.
No. That's when Connie goes and like
rescues
Michael,
like helps him sit up because.
Yeah, he cuts his hair off and Michael's like, why did my hair stop growing? And he's like, the curse has been passed on.
Yeah, to the next, which again, God damn it. We missed the part where he was like, Connie's child pubes, and I hate this sentence. We're like,
it doesn't matter.
No, it does fucking matter.
Maybe he went up into the. Maybe he went up into
the. I don't know. Maybe, because why would he know to paint the house? And
or how did he know that that was the thing that stopped it?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because he went up there and he got his pubes scared out.
You think so?
Yep.
Because he literally just kind of goes stop and he's like, what's wrong with
I mean, they
voice?
Never explain it.
Because then he's better.
Yeah, he just stops growing pubic hair. Like it's
and
just,
his voice is child voice again.
That is literally 5 minutes of the movie
deep
and it's
deep voice
done.
For two lines.
Yeah.
And then he's better.
Yes.
But anyways, yeah, so he goes and helps Michael. Yeah, tells him that the curse has been passed on, which...
How he knew that immediately?
But if he went to the house, as we're postulating, who did he then pass the curse on to?
The Signor.
No. Connie.
Oh.
Who did he pass the curse on to for him?
You're right.
That's probably why they didn't explain it and just acted like it didn't happen, even though they filmed it and put it in the movie.
It's got to be somewhere.
I hope so.
Anyway.
I really hope so.
Anyways, the curse has been passed on. Da, da, da. And so
now the senor is chasing the kids around, trying to wrangle them up because they're all trying to escape. And that's when Connie and Susie and Michael get out to the main like gate of this warehouse. And they're trying
Susie
to escape.
Susie isn't there.
Yes, she is.
Is she?
Yeah, she comes in. Oh. And, or no, it's Connie's sister.
That's what I thought. That's it's Connie's sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Susie comes with the dad and the brothers.
Yes,
and then
you
the
are
cops.
Correct. I'm sorry. It's Connie's sister that's with them. It's Michael, Connie, and Connie's sister. They get to the main gate and they're trying to open it. And the senor comes up behind them. And right as he's about to grab them, Michael's dad and Susie.
Comes in with the power of karate hands.
The senor's brothers come in, tell him to freeze. They're under arrest. And then the cops
come in. And then the cops come in.
And then the real police show up. But so they get him handcuffed and taken away. They go back home. Connie and Michael and Susie and the dad pull
but
up
the
in the driveway.
The sister is just gone. Like Connie's
sister.
Yeah,
the sister. I guess the police took her home.
And he's been kidnapped for God knows how long as well. But he doesn't go home. No, he goes with them.
We don't see any of the other kids
you
get rescued.
You never see any of that ever again.
We don't even
that
see newspaper
over.
Clippings
just,
that they were all
it's
found.
It's just now springtime. And they all pull up at the house in that like 50s car.
That weird out of place
like
car.
Like white and pink old.
And as they're getting out of the car and going up into the house, their mother, Michael's mother, pulls
returns
up
from Australia
in a cab. And she gets out of the car and looks at him. She's like, Michael, what happened to your hair?
What happened to your hair? And that is just such an end of sitcom like. Like. Oh,
they all hug. Connie's there. And he's smiling.
Yeah, it's like a family embrace with like Michael and Susie and the dad and the mom all holding each other. And Connie's just like slightly like a few steps away, just smiling.
He's just part of the family
him.
Now.
But no, because he's not included in the hug. He's over there.
Well, they're not going to hug
smiling
him. Smiling. He's weird.
And, oh, God damn it. And that's just kind of the end of the movie.
They go in the house, fade to black, cue Celine Dion, who, by the way, did the fucking soundtrack
that's
for this.
What
she
I
did
said.
Two songs on it.
Yeah, because we were watching the credits, and I was like, that sounds familiar. And then they came up, and I was like, that is Celine Dion.
Yes.
So
I had no idea it was her.
Adding to her beautiful, she did, you know, so, I mean, obviously she did the main theme for Titanic. She did the ending credits for Beauty and the Beast. And Peanut Butter Solution.
She also, you know, sold many multi-platinum
albums. I just mean as far as like movie soundtracks go. I think those are the main three that you want on your resume.
Yeah.
Titanic,
I hope
Beauty
Peanut
and
Butter
the Beast.
Solution is like the
Beauty
first
and the Beast
thing
she did with Pavarotti, I believe. The end of that. Anyways.
So movie's over. What did you think? I think a better way to watch this film is, for me, it was Eddie Burback.
Oh, yeah. No, go watch Eddie Burback's review.
That is how I found out about this movie, by watching his channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
And his review of this is far better than ours.
He has well-dressed bird merch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
he
does.
I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah.
I'm literally
going
to buy it.
And that's EddyBurback. We watch him a lot. We've done two fucking episodes on YouTube channels, and we keep forgetting to talk about it.
Failing that, there's a podcast called How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
They covered it. Their version of it is pretty good, too.
I used to listen to it years ago. I haven't listened to it in years
now. Yeah, it's been a while.
I used to listen to it quite a bit. I like Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah, me too.
He's funny.
So
they do... In my opinion, did too many Hallmark movies. I'm not going to watch a Hallmark movie.
No.
Yeah, I kind of only listened to the episodes they did when it was movies I was familiar with.
Yeah.
Well, there for a while I was listening to everything. But I mean, I'm talking like 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe, not even in the last 3 years
but
have
yeah,
I listened
Chucky's
to
it. Right. They did kind of start going after like the esoteric, like made for TV movies and stuff. And
well, you know, I mean, you do so many years, you run out of shit. Anyways,
yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, I check out those takes on it. If you want to see some of the highlight scenes, although I didn't see the toast mentioned. I don't know if they talked about the toast in the episode. That's my favorite moment is her just
it is the wants best some moment. Toast. It is the best moment of the entire movie. So good. Besides well-dressed bird.
Michael walking down the street and taking a nap in the bushes. It just reminds me a lot of myself.
Is it nice to feel seen, to have that representation?
It is.
I would just like to have the confidence it takes to walk onto somebody's yard and take a nap.
Yeah, like Robert Downey Jr.
In the middle of the day.
An equally unintentional nap. Oh, yeah. Man.
We could do that, dude. I could have you sleeping in somebody's yard by the end of the night. Just... Give me a handle of whiskey. Oh, we'll get on this.
Yeah.
You guys have fun.
I don't know that I want to do it. I just want the confidence it would take to do something like that. But anyways.
Imagination is wrong. Imagination is ultimately what brought down the senor. It's ultimately what caused all of this trouble in the first place.
If you feel like you're ugly, then you should hate yourself. And you should not interact with society. You should never go outside or have friends.
Yes.
Because you are so fucking ugly that no one could possibly love you.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Chucky?
Yeah, I mean, you started out this episode talking about, don't you be talking shit about this. This is a treasured childhood memory.
Look, if I had seen this movie when I was a kid, maybe I would have a little more love for it. But I didn't see this until I was well into adulthood. And I just... Watch it if what we've mentioned here piques your interest and you feel like you need to watch this thing. It is on YouTube, the entire movie. There's several different versions of it on YouTube. Not versions, but different channels that have uploaded it. Mm-hmm. You can buy it on Blu-ray like Chucky did. You can buy it on Amazon, I'm sure, for $2 or whatever. Or you can just do what I would recommend and go watch Eddie Burback's review of it.
Yeah, he's really good. Anyways, again, because he asked you what you thought and then proceeded to talk over you.
Hey, my job here is recommending strange movies, and this is on my list of strange movies. I don't know. I mean, if you like weird shit about Canada, man, I'm just been on a Canada trip recently. My sister is moving there, so, and then the Amazon gods smiled upon me and put Northern Exposure freely available on there, and
that is Alaska, which is America.
Yeah. Actually, it's Washington in real life. Well, it was shot in Washington,
which would still be America,
but it's all very Canadian, and then like. A half a year before that, they put Red Green on there. That's some more great Canadian shit.
God, I forgot about Red Green.
I would say don't talk shit about Red Green, but you've already trashed the peanut butter solution so up and down. So
go watch the Goose. Oh yeah, I TV guess I show. Have. That's Canadian.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What would you say this movie is similar to? Like a different movie that where it would fit? Like if you like this movie, you'll like Peanut Butter Solution. Because I can't think of another movie that is anything like this film.
It's just like a weird off-brand. It's like a dollar store Roald Dahl book to me.
Yeah, maybe like The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Or something where it's just like the whole point of the movie is weird. Or The Strange Case of Benjamin Button.
Curious Case.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Yeah, it's basically Benjamin Button. Yeah, you're right. Totally right. Lots of parallels there. What the
fuck? No, it's just like that. That like, you know, the plot doesn't make sense. You know, it's wacky and whimsical and just out of the context.
The guy that does.
Yeah, Big Fish.
The guy that does Napoleon Dynamite. It's Jared Hess, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any of his movies, if you've seen any of his other ones, like Gentleman Broncos, or that one with Sam Rockwell where he goes off and finds religious artifacts, he's done a few movies. I mean, Napoleon Dynamite, I think, is kind of similar. No, I mean, just the weirdness.
Okay, then why did you, because you're the reason we're doing this episode.
Why did I recommend this?
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do I recommend anything?
That's very true. I mean, it made for a good podcast episode. I mean, I enjoyed talking to you guys about it.
Okay.
So, I mean, we did get something out of this.
We did.
You again have wonderful shoe to shirt coordination today, Chucky.
Shut up. I look like a bum. Don't ruin these like people's.
I'm sorry. He's terrible. He's horrible. He's the sleaziest. Boo. Color story. What? No.
Color. My shoes are color. Puke.
You need to go back to the doctor if that's the color of your fucking puke. That is mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like seafoam green.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's terrible. It's horrible. Oh, God.
So Chucky recommends the movie. I don't necessarily recommend it. If you absolutely have to watch the weirdest fucking movies that you could possibly find, it's perfect for that.
It's like The Room for children.
Yeah. Yes. And this felt to me like, you know, when I was a kid, they used to put like Saturday afternoons, there would always be some like kids movie time, whatever. It was like an hour block where they would just like.
Did you ever see My Pet Monster?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. It's similar to that, but like they would just put like an hour block on Saturday afternoon.
I had a My Pet Monster.
That was,
but did you ever see the live action movie?
I did. Okay. Yeah.
My High Top Video.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it fits in that same vein.
Yeah. It's like what Chad said, like go watch Eddie Burback's video. And then if you're like, dude, I have to see more, then go watch it.
It's kind of like an extra long episode of that TV show Monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like on YouTube. I need to rewatch that.
It's like Tales from the Dark Side or Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
But way campier.
Yes.
This is.
If they had shortened
if
this.
If they combined Monsters with that Goosebumps show.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if they had shortened this movie into like condensed it to like a Goosebumps episode, it would have made a decent one, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canada Goosebumps.
All right, I think that's enough.
All right.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Jess, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm at JHL Moon on Twitter and Instagram. I say blue sky, but I don't ever check it, so don't bother.
Chucky, you got anything to... Where can they find you? You got anything to say? No, you don't want them to find you?
No.
No? Okay. I didn't think so. You got anything you want to plug?
No.
All right. As always, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm out there. Come say hello.
At Chad J. Moon.
At Chad J. Moon. If you like what you heard, please rate the podcast. Give us some reviews. All of that is very appreciated. It's not expected, but it is very much appreciated. With that said, I think we can call this an episode.
Episode.
Later, guys.